This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health. I'm Bobby Temps, and each week with an inspiring guest, we delve into a factor or condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it. So, here we go. This week's episode, we are having one of those candid conversations we sometimes happen on the podcast when there's like big news. So I have two big announcements to get into. The first of which, there's been some little teasers, there's a few kind of clues. So, you know, well done if you've noticed them and put the pieces together, because I have been studying to become a psychotherapist, and I've done my first year of that degree and not even mentioned it properly on this show. Maybe a little bit behind the paywall, but yeah, it's something that I've mentioned to a few guests, I've not mentioned to others, and it's something that I made the decision about last year before going to college. Something that I never planned to do in my life was to go and do a degree. And yet, over 6 years of doing this show, interviewing so many incredible mental health professionals, so many of them being therapists, it felt like the time. So I'm here with a guest who I'll introduce in a little bit. So I'm partly, this isn't totally me just talking to the mic, but I'm seeing your face. And like, you know, and I don't want this to sound arrogant, but like it does happen to me all the time. I'd say it's now up to a rate where it's like every third person I interview, I get off the mic and they're like, either they've already assumed I'm a therapist or they're like, oh, you should train in that. So I think that was a big part of making the decision, that this is something I'd kind of mulled over and for the most part written off. I was like, I don't know if I have the right temperament for it. I think I'm too solution orientated. I think it'd be difficult to not tell my clients what to do, things like this. And actually, this show has become an unexpected opportunity to see that I do have a lot of the potential for this industry that frankly, I've held in such esteem. That was another part of it, of like, how could I ever be one of those demigod therapists, like the one I used to go to who changed my life. And the truth is, you get to know more therapists, you do enough of this kind of work, and you realize we're all people at the end of the day. And if anything, the reason why people get into that profession is because they know how important it is. And oftentimes you know how important it is because things you've been through. In the same way, when I often interview people about their profession or other podcasters, they tell me how surprised they are, how much they benefited from it. And maybe that's not a coincidence, because when we set out to change the world, big or small, or help people, we often have a tendency to start in the places we personally have experience and we firsthand recognize where differences need to be made. I'm in speech mode today. I told you I didn't script this, but I was like, well, we'll figure it out. So I'm gonna introduce my guest so you don't have to feel mute. So my wonderful guest today is Alexander, who I met through interviewing you on this show. And that's something I want to come back to because there's so many people in my life now. How would I have known them?
Mm-hmm. Hello. It's so good to be here.
If you've not heard the episode we did together on the show, Alexander was on an episode talking about gender. It was a really wonderful chat. We really got on, as I thought we would. I tend to know. But I thought we'd get on really well, and I was delighted to be right, and we've stayed in touch ever since. And so you're living in LA, I'm living in Dublin, and yeah, I speak to you more than quite a few of my friends who are a lot nearer, so.
Yeah, I mean, we've become really close friends, you know, a lot of my dark secrets. And yeah, I mean, it's been what like an extra bonus treat it was to make a friend.
Mm-hmm.
A great friend.
Yeah. And look, I, without getting into tangents straight away, I'm going to do it anyway. I do think that is one of the things that's undervalued in adult life is friendship. I feel like there's a point where we're kind of expected to focus more on our jobs or on our romantic relationships. And I think friendships are one of those things, you know, that really defines your life, how fulfilled mm-hmm. you are, who you are to a large extent.
Yeah. And it's tough to make friends as adults. And like, I'm sure all of your listeners will agree It's like once you hit a certain threshold, it's like you have jobs, you have lives, you have schedules that are complicated. And like the more you go up in age, the more doctor's appointments you have and the less time you have to be with your friends. And it's just is a thing. And so it becomes like extra work and commitment to like make and keep friendships. But then you also learn that like friendships evolve as you get older, and like you have this understanding of like, maybe we don't speak to each other for like months, and then all of a sudden we speak to each other and it was just like yesterday, and we catch up and we kiki and we still know that we exist. And if we ever need each other, we're there. And those types of friendships, those define us.
Mm-hmm. Hence me messaging you yesterday. I mean, like, it's 10 p.m. here for my time. I'm like, how about we have a big catch up in the evening, because I'm that slammed with work, but I really want to record this and I want to have this conversation with you.
Love that. Yeah. More of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Which leads me on to the second announcement. So do we feel we've addressed the psychotherapist thing? Because it's, you know, it's a funny thing to announce when I've been studying it for a year. I've done my first year of college. I'm very used to the fact that I'm a trainee psychotherapist. And yet something kind of held me back talking about it. I don't know, was it nerves? Was it wanting to make sure everything lived up to my expectations before, you know, stamping it online? Was it partly that this was something new for me?
Yeah. Yeah. If your listeners haven't figured it out, I think it's wild that you got away with doing all that you've done, because spoiler alert, like I've known, LOL, because you've told me. And I'm surprised that you're able to keep it at bay, because you've been so invested and you've done so much. And like the fact that you are even balancing this podcast and, you know, your education is like, and like, it's not obvious. Like you've been still carrying on and like doing your thing. Like it would never be known that you have this whole like other part of your life. And you also work. Like you have a job on top of your jobs. You have all kinds of jobs. And it's just like, wow, like bravo, like reflect and like high five yourself. What a great accomplishment. And like now people know and they're going to high five you too.
My life is ridiculous and it's been ridiculous. So maybe I take that for granted, having all these things go. Literally, I'm recording this in June and next month I'll be back at the Edinburgh Festival, where the listeners know I tend to work there every summer. This year I've got a promotion. So like I'm doing an even bigger job there than ever whilst I have all these other things happening. And here's the thing, this is kind of announcement number two. I am putting this podcast on hiatus for a while. You know, the plan is until I finish my degree. And then I kind of circle back and reassess at that point. Because that was a consideration of like, okay, how do I talk about this? To what extent does it get integrated into the podcast? You know, do I start kind of checking in about what it's like in my training? And that maybe brings the show to a little bit of a different format than it's been. And that's been something to kind of figure out. And ultimately, the decision I've come to is that trying to balance all these things, it's time to take a break. Over 330 episodes of this show alone.
Whoa, you've been so busy.
I know. And then there's like 20-something appearances on other people's podcasts, speaking events, mentorship. Like obviously the podcasting CV alone is a whole thing. I judge awards. There's so many bits. And so, yeah, that's such a significant portfolio of work. And so many of the things that I wanted to do with this show have been done. And so for me, the future is focus on my studies and then come back with a new version of the show. Then I'm coming on and I'm your psychotherapist host when I have that different angle. So that's kind of where I'm thinking. And the underside of all of that logic as well is burnout. And if there's something I try and do, it's be honest and accountable to the very topics that we talk about on this show. So I have been in burnout for a little while now, for I'd say much of this year. And in fact, even a good chunk of last year. So there has been a lot. And so I have been slowing down. Obviously, listeners, you know that we went to every other week with this show, and that's helped a lot. We went every other week with dating games as well. And there's been various other things in my life I've slowed down on, the podcast mentorship, for example. And yet, burnout is a big thing. And often people say that it takes as long to get out of as it took to get into. And so whilst I've definitely been addressing things more addressing needs to happen. And so that's the other side of this, of I'm quite creatively burnt out. And I love this show and I'm so passionate about it and I want to give it my all. And, you know, 500 episodes of podcasting and 6.5 years in, it's taken its toll a little bit.
Yeah, you need a nap, a massage, and maybe just to burn it down and start over again. At this point, I'm tired just hearing you. But can we just like...
Yeah, I feel tired and I'm aware it is 10:30 at night, but you know, be my life, but do what it takes to get shit recorded.
I think it's worth giving you and your listeners like just like a moment of like appreciation and like just sit in it and like think for just like a minute, sit in everything that you've been able to do, your incredible guests. Of course, like after I was on your podcast, I started listening to your episodes too and just the conversations that you've had that have helped so many people, including me. And just a moment for that, just to sit in that and to think that hiatus, like let's repeat that. That's like a really, it sounds like a bad word, but I think that sounds like a really great opportunity and it could be a really good word.
Yeah, I mean, another word for it is people say like sabbatical, right? Maybe it's like that. I'm going away. I'm studying. I'm going to come back refreshed with new perspectives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what feels right at this point. But no, I appreciate you kind of getting me to pause because the nature of, for the most part, with the history of this show, releasing episodes every week, it is kind of relentless.
Yeah.
And I think once you get used to the pace of that, you kind of can take it for granted. Most of the anniversaries of this show, me, Pete, and my various co-hosts have missed because we've been so in the weeks, or even like you can imagine the amount of email pitches I get every week. You know, that inbox is obviously at certain times of year, you get an extra flood load of like, oh, it's World Mental Health Day. And it's an interesting one because I'm so on board with events like that existing within the context of this show. We're like, every week is Mental Health Awareness Week. So it's kind of blush.
Yeah.
So it is a funny thing to look back on and be like, oh, it's only when you take a pause, you're like, it's a crazy amount of content. I can't remember the exact total we're up to now, but it's somewhere around 2 weeks that you could just listen to my podcasting 24 hours a day for 2 weeks and not even get through it all.
That's so wild.
It's ridiculous.
That's like, that's American vacation.
Yeah. It's silly. It's actually strange. So no, I appreciate you saying that. And like the catalogue of episodes, you know, so many dream guests, so many wonderful conversations, so many people I would have never otherwise met. Not that this was the plan, but to look back on it and be like, okay, so I'm now studying something where I'm going to have conversations about mental health as my job, hopefully for the rest of my days, with people where I've been doing it in this context already. I've been doing it in other mental health roles. And it does kind of feel like, in some ways, not that it's all been leading up to this, but I'm like, what one hell of a prep, you know? Like even at college, like I had to give a presentation on addiction. And I was like, yeah, let's go.
I've been ready for this moment.
Yeah, I was like literally like, oh, I guess to prep for this, I could just like pull up research I've done for different guests, or I could even listen back to my old episodes, or just all the stuff on the dome that I've soaked in from these conversations. So I think there's, between this and a few other things like being a Samaritan's volunteer, there's very few things I've never talked about that relate to mental health. I mean, the whole subtext of this show, you know, obviously it's here to destigmatize mental health. And sometimes that's in big, obvious ways of having the conversations all the time. And in other ways, it's more subtle where each week we have a theme. When I've had listeners I meet in real life be like, oh yeah, it's kind of like everything. You're just showing that everything is related to mental health. And I'm like, yep, you got it. That's the subplot. That's what we're doing. With all, like when we did an episode on slime, like that's what we're doing. You know, everything conceivable somehow does relate back to our health, funnily enough. Who we are, how we think, how we feel. It's related to everything.
I'm just really proud of you for making a decision that's going to help you actually, in the long run, help others. because I think it's so easy to get in burnout and get stuck in it and just like it
becomes because everybody tries to work their way out of it.
Yeah.
And I know that and I still do it.
Yeah. I mean, it becomes a norm though. You function that way and then you become like so used to it that that's your normal. Like there's no other way to function. Making a jump out of that is really brave and it's bold. And like the unknown, I think a lot of people fear the unknown and nobody will talk about that, but that
oh yeah.
That fear stops people from making these decisions and these important things that they need to make in order to like move forward for real though. Cause it's like short-sighted if you kept your podcast going right now while you have so much going. And I think you're thinking long-term and being smart. And then you're going to come back as a professional. Not that you aren't already in a way, but you'll have the paper that says you are. And wow, you can really, you know, I think the credibility at that point will go so much further just because of that paper, arguably. But you'll have that experience too. It's brilliant is what I wanted to say. And I'm really proud of you for doing that. And high five. Honestly, very, very proud of you for doing what you need to do, not what you want
to do. It is surreal. So, I don't know if this goes without saying, but this is going to be the last episode for now. And so it's even just so strange saying that. It's so strange having that in the back of my mind when this has been such a big part of my life. Like, I don't want to be over dramatic about it, but I think people know that if you've been doing a job like this for so many years, like it's such a big part of who you are. It's such a big part of my identity. It's such a part of like what shaped me. And I don't think I would speak quite the same if I wasn't used to presenting shows in this way. I don't think I'd talk to people the same if I wasn't so used to like most of the new people I meet and get to know for the first time is on air. So like it shapes so much. Like I don't think I'd talk to people the same way when I get to know them if I wasn't used to doing this. Yeah, it's just fundamentally changed how I've seen everything. I think it's arguably made me more me, which is nice.
I mean, it's part of your DNA now. Like, you can't undo it.
Podcast or not, there's no getting me to shut up about mental health now. Cat is out of the bag. Yeah, on that one. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I'm going to miss this part of my routine. But like you say, it's for future planning. It's for all kinds of things. And this show has already achieved so much. Just the back catalogue will stay live. People will be able to listen to it. You'll still be able to subscribe and go hear the bits behind the paywall. I'm also going to include links in the description for some of my favourite guest appearances if you want to go see the broader lore and hear what it's like when I'm on the back foot and I'm being asked the question. For example, I did an interview recently where me and Stephanie, my co-host on Dating Games, were both interviewed, and the interviews were spliced together and kind of gamified, and we were player one and two. So I'll link that with Kyle Moore, who was the host for that one. Another friend I've met through podcasting, who's in Canada, and I got to meet him in real life. And, you know, later this year, I'm going to meet you. No, sorry, in January.
Oh my God.
That's next year.
Oh my God.
Oops. What year is it? But yeah.
Later within the calendar year. No, that's a lie.
Yes, one of them.
Even that's so wrong.
Oh dear. So yeah. Honestly, all this reflection, I've lost all concepts of time. I think we should touch on what's changed, because I was saying to you off air, I do feel like I'm in a bit of a bubble sometimes being so surrounded by these kind of conversations and it being so normalized. But I also hear that from listeners, that people write to me and maybe hearing certain conversations, they've never heard that discussed before. Maybe they listen in order to have conversations of their own. So many people write to me that listen because they have a family member with a particular diagnosis and they're trying to be a better relative to that, a better ally. So I have all these reminders of like what this work does for people and how much has moved forward. I mean, obviously the mental health education campaigning is a whole thing. Please do look into that catalogue or Google me if you want to hear more about that, because that'd be a whole episode right now. But yeah, mental health education now being across most of the UK. I don't even live there anymore. And yet people are studying and learning the kind of things that I wish I'd had growing up, going through the British education system. So yeah, it's wild. And on the subject of what's changed, by sheer coincidence, we both saw the movie Inside Out yesterday, which
unreal.
Surprisingly. That we both are. Like, way more mental healthy than I thought.
What? Unbelievably, like, deep. And just, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I definitely got teary-eyed in, like, two specific parts. But, like, it was definitely deeper than I imagined.
Yeah, I agree. There was, like, so many just moments where, like, I was in the cinema and then you, like, you kind of actually get booted out of it. Like, the awareness was so exquisite. There were parts that were so poignant that I actually kind of got booted out of the theater for a second in my mind. And I'm like, oh, I'm back aware of my surroundings. And that's a big thought that I'm going to put a pin in to really mull that over later. And I think one of the things that for this conversation is so big is seeing mental health be represented in such a broader and such a more accurate way. And one of the examples in this movie, so if people aren't familiar with Pixar's Inside Out, so this is the second movie in that series, the kind of main premise is that it's going inside people's brains and there's these sort of physical, human-like manifestations of different emotions. And they're all at war with each other to try and like take control and influence the person. And it's such a kind of fun movie, but then also there's all these deep moments. And so one of the characters that's introduced in this one is anxiety. And it comes along with going through puberty and certain life changes for the main character whose head they're inside of. And, you know, one of the things that really struck me was not only to see this kind of stuff just be so normal in the culture that even since starting this show, March 2018, you know, that's not that long ago, and yet some of the representation we see now, I can only imagine at that point, I was crying out for. And I was like, I don't know when that will happen. And one of the things that I thought was so beautiful in this was not only seeing it, but the character of anxiety was so nearly logical, which I loved, because they could have so easily framed it in a way that might have been stigmatizing of like, here's anxiety and she's always dramatic and she's always like overreacting to things. Mm-hmm. And actually the character made such sense and was so relatable in and of themselves, because that is the reality, that when you're having these anxious thoughts, it often is coming from this kind of historical or deep place inside of us where we're really yearning to be safe. We're really looking to seek that. And, you know, anxiety works in a way that can be an incredibly conflicting thing in us. You know, the lens we go to try and find that safety, and how unsafe those very actions can actually make us feel. It's a complicated thing. And for something that is an all-ages film, to manage to sum that up with cartoonish characters, it's like, wow. I can never imagine this kind of stuff growing up.
I literally told my husband that when we left the theater, I said, oh my God, I wish these things would have been out when I was younger, like, so I wouldn't have had to go through, like they just explained it so well. You said it so well, too. Like, they created this anxiety character so beautifully and, like, gave her so much nuance. It almost made me feel like she even had her own Inside Out, like, personalities in her head. Like, how complicated even anxiety
one
is
emotional.
On its own. Like, it's not just one-dimensional. Anxiety is not just like, oh my God. But it's also, like my therapist told me, like, anxiety can also help you. And to see this in the movie, portrayed in the movie, how anxiety worked with the rest of the personalities, or can work with the rest of the personalities to like make a whole person, was so just like, oh my God, if I would, like I just said, if I would have known this before, if I would have actually, but then I also think, would I have received it?
This is it. And like, if we can pause on that, that was sort of the overarching theme of this film, was that there's all these different emotions and contrasting forces in us, and it's the finding balance. It's not the never feeling anxious. It's not the never feeling sad. In fact, the sad character, she's the kind of cautious one that sort of questions things and can kind of slow the others down when they're rushing ahead and being reckless. So like, it's so beautifully portrayed in that way that balance. It's balance. That's the best.
And it was easy to understand. Mm-hmm. It was easy to understand. It was like laid out in such a beautiful, easy, digestible way for people to really grasp it, I think. Yeah. Like if you were already on the edge of like, your mental health, like deciding what you wanted to do with your mental health, this is like what will knock you over into like, oh, I understand my feelings more. Maybe I can do something about it. Our personality is not fixed. We can change. Like our emotions aren't fixed. Like, we can change. Like, this is so much more complex, and it just does such a beautiful job at displaying that.
Yeah. And we were talking off air about how much this stuff has come on. Like, I've talked about on the podcast how a show that really influenced me when I was younger, and I'm not entirely sure it was for the best in certain ways, was Skins. So that's a teen British sitcom, I guess, or sort of, you know, dark drama with comedy show. And it was aimed at an age group similar to, or even younger as I was, I think at the time of some of the series, than the characters in it. And, you know, there was certain representation where, like, I had such a fascination and such a crush on one of the main characters who had an eating disorder. And it's so strange to look back on that and be like, how much of that was she was beautiful and magnetic and quirky and fascinating, and how much of it was I was seeing elements of my life reflected back to me in a way that I just almost never saw, and certainly never ever saw in a man. So she was kind of one of the nearest representations for me. And I'm not going to get into it, but there were pros and cons of the representation, and we've come a long way. Shows like 13 Reasons Why have been very controversial example, but I think one that ultimately has helped us kind of figure out what are the boundaries and what are the ways to approach really hard-hitting, real, complicated topics and not make them dangerous for people in their reality, not actually create some of their own problems. So yeah, it's wild to see how much things, and we're just talking about visual media, you know, but even just the culture, like how much more we actually see people show up for mental health calendar events, how much more mental health charities are visible, how much more mental health conversations are everyday conversations.
It's become a part of, like, our culture, for sure. Like, it's not, and we can't go back on that. I mean, unless somebody really screws it up, but it's become a big part of our culture. Mental health conversations are no longer a joke. Like, it's no longer a joke to be like, go see a therapist, or like, you need help, or like, it's no longer a joke. It's like, maybe for some people, but it really has not. It doesn't have that same stigma that it used to. There's still a lot of work, and we continuously need to remember and be reminded why it's important to discuss this, but it's not the same as it used to be. And the resources, the amount of podcasts that are out there now. Even compared to 6 years ago, like,
we were new. Like, there wasn't even a, like, mental health category.
Imagine.
In Apple Podcasts when we started. It's wild. We were one of the first successful mental health podcasts that was independent. A lot of what had come before us was kind of dry, sort of corporate-y, or, you know, kind of big media houses making it. And this was one where it was really real. And I would argue that we were, in particular, talking about mental illness, right? So this idea that it's all on a spectrum. And there were a lot of shows talking about mental health, or now the kind of buzzword even more so is well-being. So there was a lot of them on that kind of end. And we were really the pioneering show for, like, we may have mental health in our title, but really we're a show about mental illness. That's what we specifically talk about every week. We get into it, and we really get into it, and we talk about some of the topics that are never touched elsewhere. So yeah, it's kind of, it's wild. It's really hard to kind of quantify that, because it's so long ago that I'm used to how many mental health podcasts there are now. But we were really kind of lone dinosaurs at one point.
Yeah. Well, it's going to evolve. It's going to continue to evolve too. Like, where we were 6 years ago, where we're going to be 6 years from now, it's going to be a whole different monster. I think mental health will always be something that we'll need to work on. I think it'll just evolve, that the conversations around it will evolve just as they have now. And maybe it will be just like, I don't know, maybe one day everybody will be able to have a therapist, and it'll be like a thing. Like, everybody will be able to get the help that they need. Like, how awesome would that be? And maybe that's the future that we're working towards. And also making it a career that's, like, cool again. Because there was a small while, for those of you who don't know, I'm a recruiter as well. And I recruit people for jobs. And for a small while, I was recruiting psychiatrists and psychologists. And there is a massive gap of psychiatrists and psychologists in age, just because for a long time, it wasn't cool anymore. And it kind of ebbs and flows, right? Like, it was something that wasn't as cool as it is now, arguably, but there was some importance around it, and then it kind of went away and then it came back. And so now you're seeing all these younger therapists. So it's just really exciting to see like this whole new generation coming in. Why? I'm personally excited to see what the future of mental health is. And for you to be one of the pioneers in the conversation that started this, like, it's really cool. Like, pat yourself on the back.
I know. And I feel like I'm such an academic sometimes about this stuff where I never want to like overpromise what my influence has been. I remember I interviewed Dr. Janet Abram recently on this show, who was one of the pioneers, the founders of palliative care. And it's wild to get the opportunity to interview someone that was part of forming a whole new branch of medicine. One that is just so normal that many people won't even know how new it is in relative terms. So yeah, it's sort of a funny thing. And, you know, obviously you interview her and she's like, yeah, so I worked at this hospital. And I'm like, one of the pioneers. Sort of funny to then like turn that around on myself and be like, yeah, well, I guess in this specific way, in this other niche way. But no, I think we can say been a big part of the conversation.
Yeah, you're a huge part of the conversation.
So yeah, wild. The conversations I've had, so many that of like, I will never forget. And so I really encourage you, if whether you're new to the show or not, look back at the back catalogue. These don't have to be listened to in any order. Just go see what themes catch your fancy. There's so much to them. And so often we have, that's why I reformatted how the titles work, that we have the main theme and then we have other things we touch on, because we end up getting into a lot.
Yeah, I'm just like thinking about, it's like a personal thought. I'm just like thinking about how I want to potentially, like, you inspired me. Like I even think like there's so many important conversations I want to have, and having you as a friend and seeing what you've done, and like, it's just so inspiring to me, because then I'm thinking like, wow, you've done all these things. I'm listening to you talk about them and I'm like, damn, like I'm excited to kind of go on my journey, because I'd love to have these important conversations too. But just so inspiring to hear you and like the things you accomplished. It's just like, damn. And I'm just thinking about some of the guests you've had too. And I would love to hear what some of your favorite ones were. But yeah, just like amazing, like what you've done, and just so inspiring. And I just want to do my own thing now because of that.
It's fun. And like, you know what I'd say, whether it's you or whether it's anyone listening thinking the same thing, like, go do it. Find people. You don't have to change the world on your own. Find people around you. Look after yourself too. Set boundaries. Don't overwork. Don't get burnt out if you can help it. But go do it, because it has been one of, if not the defining thing of my life, doing this work. And it's emotional, even just saying that, even reflecting on it. There's another part of it that's like, nobody asked for this show. In a sort of general sense, we needed conversations like this. But in a specific macro sense, nobody asked me to make this show. You know, I decided it was something I could do and offer and give a try, and I kept slogging away, and here we are. You get on with it. There are loads of people out there that can give you advice. I love talking to new podcasters. There's 8 podcasts now that have been in touch and told me that they started their show by being inspired by this one.
Boom, look at that.
And they're all over the world, and that's the ones I know about. So yeah, and kind of on this sort of reflective, sentimental note, some of the nostalgia. I actually plan to do a poetry podcast next, like a little short form, like 8 episodes, see how it goes after I've had a few months break, and kind of do a few of the little kind of small, really creative sort of out there projects that I've wanted to do when I've been so caught up in having a arguably super full life. So, you know, that's one that's kind of on my radar for the future. But it is strange that in the short term, I'll be packing away these mics this evening. And I don't know if people remember the story. So like, I got these mics because I did a photo shoot for Audio Technica as a model. So I'm in an Audio Technica catalog. And imagine my agent calls me whilst I was setting up this show. And it's like, okay, so I think I've got this really good opportunity for you. The money, I've never been as well paid for a modeling gig. And it was, the gig was, I go to the apartment of the head of marketing for Audio Technica Europe, and we do like a kind of informal photo shoot where I have to get this, pretend to be a podcaster. I'm a religious person. I believe in God. I think sometimes there's coincidences like this where I'm like, I don't know how else to explain it, but other people will have their ways. But yeah, I was like, could you make this shit up? So I'm there pretending to be a podcaster whilst I actively am getting into podcasting. And I'm there like getting to try out fun mics. And then Yuan is like, well, you know, we get a massive staff discount. So like whatever you need, you just let me know. I'll order it. I'll get it delivered right to your home. So not only did I get paid very well for, you know, sitting in my own clothes and pretending to podcast, I then got a load of, yeah, I got 60% off all my tech. And that's part of how I afforded to start it, you know?
Wow. That is like, you should have led with that story. That is no, really good story. Have you told this story before?
I have told this story, but it, like for me, it's the catalog of shows. So once I've told a story, it's kind of burnt. I maybe mention it, but I try not to retell stories. But then, yeah, like if, it's
wow.
So like that's one of the things that comes to my mind where I'm like sat here with my tech and like, you know, every year I talk at the podcast show in London, they have an Audio Technica stand and I have to go over and be like, hey, I like tell them the story and I have a little chat and I'm like, show me the new mics. I'm not buying any of the new mics because I won't get the discount again. Audio Technica, not cheap. But yeah, I have the same tech that I've been using the whole time. So it's, you know, even that's kind of nostalgic to be like, oh, this setup has been here. So yeah, and then another kind of poignant note that we were talking about off air is there's been some incredible moments of conversations where I'm literally in the interview seat and I can't believe the conversation I'm getting to have, or that somebody's being so open to me, or somebody tells me in the bit behind the paywall that they've never told somebody that before. And oftentimes I know I'm in it and I can tell how real people are being, and it's such a privilege. And then there's also parts of it that are heartbreaking, hearing people's stories. And one of the things that is still really hard to wrap my head around is two of the people I've interviewed aren't alive anymore. So Sophie Savage, who I interviewed several times, those conversations related to her experience of terminal cancer, you know, and that ultimately was the thing that ended her life. And Jerry Valentine, the drag queen and arguably absolute mental health advocate campaigner in their own right, who I got to interview while they were in their series of Drag Race. And that was such a big moment. And Cherry ultimately died by suicide. It's something that is so strange to wrap your head around. Each of these episodes are kind of a little timestamp. Often when I interview people again, I get to see how much has changed, or their perspective is different, or they tell stories in different ways. But, it, you know, each episode is its slice of reality of what that person's life was on that day, and two people being honest about stuff. As much as we're saying things have moved forward, the way that we approach conversations here is not the norm by any stretch. You know, strangers talking about such vulnerable things. So I think that adds to the feeling of like, well, I've been so lucky to know people, including those who aren't here anymore.
Rest in power to those two beautiful people that you got to memorialize here too. It's a moment in time and you got to capture this for them too. And it's part of their legacy, and how beautiful that they got to share their stories on a platform that other people will get to hear. And it's not in vain. And it's just such a testament to those people. Wow. What an incredible privilege sometimes. I think we don't realize the privileges that we have while we're in them, and it just becomes a daily norm. But what a privilege to be able to have people speak to you so openly, because we live in a bubble as individuals. And I think for you and I, it's very easy to just share. And we're like, yeah, sure, whatever. But majority of people are not comfortable sharing personal things. And you've gotten the privilege to sit there and be able to receive so much authenticity. And it's not normal, like you said. That's not a regular thing to strangers talking about really difficult, dark, sometimes sad, sometimes happy, sometimes...
Yeah, you know. And look, I think even for us, this is earned. When you're talking about things that, quote-unquote, we don't talk about, and whether that's mental health or whether it's any number of things, like talking about relationships, talking about sex, talking about medication, talking about so many things that can be considered taboo to certain people, and then you're having them in a way that's a Googler way, that's so accessible, that's staying up potentially forever. It's something that you work on. I hope that the way that I've had these conversations be normalized to me, because that's been a journey too. I didn't even come to terms with having an eating disorder until I started recording this show. I didn't even properly commit to going to therapy until just before I started the show as part of me preparing for these conversations. But funnily enough, it wasn't conversations on the pod I ended up talking to the therapist about. We had plenty of stuff for me to work on just to do with myself. So it has fundamentally changed my life. And I'm saying all this and it's occurred to me, imagine if this is the first episode you've listened. If you're That's listening hilarious. In 10 years' time and you've just pressed play on this random episode. Yeah. Welcome. What a strange place to start. Please go back to an episode and hear what we're actually talking about. But yeah, so I think that's what I have to say. I think that's it. Like, I don't think I can fully wrap my head around what this show has been for people and for myself. And like I said earlier, you don't start these things being like, this is for me. You start it for the cause and for the people. But as with anything creative, you write a novel, you end up seemingly writing characters that you recognize. You become a painter. You're like, why do I keep painting certain things? You're like, oh yeah, that was the favorite place I went to as a child. I didn't realize until I kept painting it. Like, ourselves comes out in the work, and you know, the personal can be very universal in that way.
It tells on you.
Yeah.
It tells on you. Yeah. It shows you who you are. It's a reflection.
And to maybe wrap up by talking a bit about becoming a therapist, you know, it's funny that a lot of the things that come up personally, and some of the parts of it that are kind of spooky. You know, one of my professors, she's incredible, and I would hope to be similar to her out of all of them that teach me. Her approach is so me. It's so like, oh, that's it's like the way people go on about ASMR, and some people feel that tingle and that resonance with it, and other people don't. She's on the same resonance. I'm like, I know what you're on about over there. And she talks about therapy as soul work. It's like two people coming together and working in such a vulnerable way. You may be the professional, but you're bringing yourself and your history to the room, trying to use all your skills to understand that person and know how to show up for them. Even in the approach I'm studying, even if you're not self-disclosing and talking about your history, it still informs who you are as a professional. And she was saying to us that, so she's our skills professor, basically. So she's the one that does the practical counseling skills practices with us. That something to be aware of is whatever parts that are still sore points for you, that will show up with your clients. Whatever thing you're trying to avoid working on, you will get a client sooner than you think with that particular thing. And you can only really go there with the clients in the places that you're ready to go there with yourself. And I'm aware that if you're not in the therapist world, if you're not training in this, some of this can sound a bit mystical in a way. And yeah, I've been in this world long enough to be like, no, I believe that. Because even if it's not that's the main thing for the client, that's the thing I'm going to fucking bounce off. You know, if I have a sore point, that's going to be the bit that triggers in me. So yeah, and she says, you know, the thing is you go in, much like I've talked about with this, you go in and you're there to help people. And it does help you too. You know, she's like, you will hear things from people and you'll be like, oh, that's not just me that has that specific angst. Or, oh yeah, they've articulated what it feels like to be cheated on or to go through a divorce or to lose a parent or all these kind of massive life things in a way that I resonate with. And yet I didn't even have those words. I hadn't even quite figured out how to describe it in that way. You'll end up with the clients that you need in certain ways, as well as the clients that need you finding you.
That your self-awareness, because you already kind of mentioned this, but only if you've dealt with it yourself, then can you help other people with it. But then sometimes you don't know what you need help with yourself. So once you figure it out and you can help yourself because you have that self-awareness, I think you're just going to be such a powerhouse. And funny because when you told me you were going to be a therapist, or when you told me you were going to study, I like almost fell out of my seat because I was like, oh my God, like how was this not even like a thing already? Because it's just so natural.
I mean, we have to say for the listeners, nobody in my life is surprised.
Yeah,
it's the most underwhelming news. You know what it's like? It's like when...
Water is wet.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when you hear people give like coming out stories, you know, that they're like, oh yeah, I told my family that I'm gay, and they're like, yeah. It's like those people that have coming out stories where everyone around them is like, cool, I'm glad you figured it out.
Yeah.
Because we'd already figured it out. And you're like, what? That was the person's moment. Yeah. Trixie Mattel, that's part of her coming out story. So, yeah.
They're like, yeah, okay.
It is a funny thing. Yeah, nobody is surprised I'm becoming a therapist. So, yeah. So there it is. Big life changes. Thank you so much for listening to this show. So strange to be signing off like this. Thank you for everything. And, you know, listen more. Find other mental health podcasts. Maybe check out the ones I've been guests on. I'm generally not going to be a guest on a show I don't believe in. So that's a good place to start. And, you know, visit the back catalogue. Listen to Dating Games, my other show. It can get mental healthy. And, yeah, thanks for being here. And as they say in the mental health world, thanks for staying. On that note, thanks, Alex.
Anytime.
Thank you for listening. For a list of our recommended resources, visit mentalpodcast.co.uk. And remember, we are in no way a substitute for qualified counselling or other mental health support. Our show is edited and produced by the brilliant Pete Murta, with licensed music by NetSky. Links in the description. Speak to you next Thursday, and remember, you are enough.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.